I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit. I'm really excited about this topic because I do believe, just in talking to people, what, you know, I've said it before and I've said it 100 times, I think what's beautiful about our church is that God has brought us literally from all corners of the globe. We have such different backgrounds, such different experiences in His kingdom. We have different testimonies. We have all kinds of different things. And honestly, it makes our church so beautiful. I absolutely love it. But in talking to different people, we also have a lot of different opinions about who the Holy Spirit is. And I want to talk about that today. Sometimes that subject is taboo. You don't want to offend anybody, and you definitely don't want to scare them off. But I got to tell you something. The Holy Spirit, we just felt it. It's not scary, right? The Holy Spirit is not scary. If it's scaring you, you better bind that spirit and tell it to get behind you, because it's not the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is it's a presence, it's an anointing, it's a sweet smell. It is something not scary. As a matter of fact, it's welcoming. Even if things are taking place like you don't understand, maybe you don't understand how the Holy Spirit was moving through Edwin, but there's an acceptance because you know, okay, it's not a scary thing, it's a peaceful thing. Does that make sense? Yes. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. I believe that it's misunderstood, not because God has been unclear. It's not because God makes it unclear or scary or hard to understand. He's actually quite clear about the Holy Spirit. But because different opinions of man have weighed in on this subject, it becomes kind of murky water. So we have God in three persons. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, and we have God the Holy Spirit. And we, in the Bible, we see different ways that God has given us to try to understand the Holy Spirit. He refers to Him as oil. He's like oil, which kind of represents the anointing. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. He also explains Him as a dove, you know, as peace, as gentleness. You know, a dove. We have doves that come and land in our backyard, and we love to watch them because they're just peaceful birds, right? And he describes another way as wind. You can't see wind, but you can feel it. You know, you can feel it in your hair. You know when wind is present, right? There's no mistaking when it's windy. Who said they were in Chicago? Was that Patrick? He was like, the wind, you know, you just can't get out of the wind when it's so cold, it makes a difference. The wind is powerful. We see wind damage. Wind can take down buildings if it's strong enough, right? So those are the examples. Those are just a few of the examples that God has given us in the Bible to try to grasp the concept. And if anything I get from those three concepts is that it is moldable. It is flexible, right? It takes many forms. It is the anointing. It is power. It is gentleness. It is peace, all at the same time. Something else to remember is that the Holy Spirit wasn't born on Pentecost Day. We think sometimes, okay, the Holy Spirit entered the scene on the day of Pentecost, and that scares people. No, Pentecost Day was not the Holy Spirit birthday. The Holy Spirit has been present since creation. In Genesis 1, it tells us that the earth was without form, it was void, and the Spirit of God hovered over all the earth. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, hovered. So Pentecost was not the birthday of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always has been, is, and always will be. Just like God the Father, just like God the Son, and just like God the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. So now that we've got that out of the way, I think that sometimes we are fearful because of the opinions of man. We're fearful because of the unknown. We're fearful because of the misuse or abuse that we have seen. And you guys know that's true with everything, right? You have people that misuse and abuse pretty much everything. So we have to understand what we're talking about today is not what we've seen in misuse and abuse. We're not talking about any man-made denomination. And I get it if you're from a denomination, I'm okay with that. But I'm not preaching Pentecostalism. I'm not talking about Assembly of God or Church of God or holiness. I really don't care about any of that. What I'm talking about today is an encounter with the personal God that wants to live in your heart, and He wants to be, He wants to reign in your life, and He wants to be a part of your life and your everyday life. That's what I'm talking about today, okay? So don't get squeamish in your seats. We are going to talk about something that is for everybody. Say everybody. All right, so not just the super righteous, if that exists, and unless you're Jesus, I don't believe it does, but not even just for the pastors and the preachers and the teachers and the deacons and the worship leaders, it is for who? I don't know why I got off on a tangent when I was studying, but I started reading up on D.L. Moody. You guys are familiar with him, right? It is so interesting. God really ministered to me through his testimony. Do you know that he started two Christian colleges with a grade school education? So he knew a lot about overcoming some odds, right? And when he was asked about living a Christian life without the Holy Spirit, he quoted and he said, "You might as well try to hear without ears or breathe without lungs." That's what he said, because he didn't see the Holy Spirit as something optional in living a Christian life, as if you could really truly live out a Christian life without the Holy Spirit. He saw that as a necessary gift that God has given him that he had to have in order to actually live out what God was calling him to do. Does that make sense? So many of the church can relate to some of the Ephesian believers that Paul met in Acts chapter 19. And when Paul went to them, he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And those believers were like, "I don't know what this Holy Spirit is. We received John's baptism." They basically said, "We've accepted the Lord as our Savior. We've repented." And so Paul said, "No, there's another baptism that can come. It is the Holy Spirit baptism. Let me introduce you to him. Let me tell you about him." So that's what I want to do. I am teaching out of the Amplified Bible today. I just love different translations, and I read all the translations I could when we were looking at this. But I love how the Amplified just basically puts a megaphone to what God's Word is saying and explains it a little more in detail. So we're in John chapter 16, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And what he's doing is he is preparing them for what is getting ready to come. And of course, being the disciples just like us, they didn't understand what was happening. But here Jesus is trying to explain. And we're going to start John chapter 16, verse 7. All right, he says, this is Jesus, "However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it is good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." In verse 8, "And when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment." He goes on to elaborate on sin and judgment. And in verse 13, he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak of his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will draw upon what is mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine, and that is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and he will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you." So this is Jesus' description of what he's saying is going to come. Now, I've got to say, we got to think about what the disciples had to be thinking right now. How could it possibly be good that you were leaving us, right? How could it possibly be good that you were going away? We need you here. Think about all the things they've experienced with him up until this point. I mean, walking on water and seeing 5,000 people fed and healing the sick and all of these things. So they see that in Jesus is the healer, in Jesus is the Messiah, is the helper. And here he is saying, "I'm going away, but I'm going to send someone who's going to be able to help you even more than what I can do here." So how is that a good thing in their eyes? We see Jesus, obviously, being God the Son, knew something that we didn't. And that was that he could be near to them. He was in human form. He was close. But in is better than near, right? He knew that the Holy Spirit would be in. And what is closer, Jensen or my spirit, right? Near is good. In is better. Jesus, being in human form, could be in one place, but the Holy Spirit could hover all the earth, right? The Holy Spirit could dwell in Sheena, and it could dwell in Eric, and it can dwell in me, not just one person, right? When Jesus was around John, he might not have been around someone else in his human form, right? So the Holy Spirit could be in and around and everywhere. So that's what he meant. It's going to be good. It's going to be better. And then he describes the Holy Spirit. He calls him the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, and then I love this, the Standby. I love that. That word to me stuck out so good, because how cool is that to be walking along and you've got the Holy Spirit over here? I'm right here if you need me. I'm like, good, okay, good. I'm here if you need me. I'm standing by. I'm right here. If you need me, I'm right here. How awesome would that be? It is awesome, right? That's what we have. He's saying, I'm the standby. I'm here. If you need me, I am here. I am ever present. The Strengthener. Does anyone ever feel tired and weary and stressed? The Strengthener. He is the Strengthener. The Intercessor. Who better to intercede for you than the living, breathing God? Amen? So he is saying, I am going to intercede for you. I am going to intercede on your behalf. Pastor Keith can pray for me, and he knows some about me. But who knows everything there is to know about me? Who knows how to pray for the things that I need that I don't even know I need? The Intercessor, right? The Holy Spirit. He's saying, I am here. I'm on standby. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to advocate with you. When the world says, have you ever been in a predicament where the world is saying, okay, this is what you're going to have to face. This is the situation. But you have the Holy Spirit advocate that comes in, and he can change it around and mix it up, and he can advocate for you. Right? If I want an advocator, whoo, he's the one I want, right? A helper, a counselor. You know, we were talking about this last night. We had some people over, and we were talking about, you know, the Bible says it's wise to seek wise counsel, right? That's not a bad thing. Counseling is a good thing. But how much better is it to go to the counselor himself? Because he's saying, I will counsel you. I will speak directly to you. I can intercede. I can advocate. I will counsel you. So even if you're seeking a counselor, and that's great, we all have needed that, seek the counselor first. And that way, you know, when you get into that counseling session, if that person's full of a lot of hooey, or if they really have some good advice for you, right? But if you don't go in being led by the Holy Spirit, you know, and you expect that human beings are going to be able to really tell you what you need to do with your life, let me tell you, there's a lot of people that may have a lot of ideas about what I need to do with my life. Pastor Deb, Sheena, Eric, Jensen, but the advocates, the counselor, the one who created us, the one who took the dirt of the earth and the air from his very lungs and breathed life to us, he knows what he made us for. He knows what he created us to do. He gave us our purpose. He gave us our passion. He gave us our destiny. Who better to counsel us on what we need to do next in life than the counselor himself? Amen? In verse 13, he calls him the Spirit of Truth, the full truth. Sometimes truth is an ugly word because we don't want to face it. And we're going to talk about truth a little later on. Sometimes we want the full truth about other people, but we don't want the full truth about ourselves. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is misused because people heard a word of the Lord about truth about you. That's not how the Holy Spirit works, right? The Holy Spirit works to bring truth to yourself. And it may be in the form of, you know, this happened to me just yesterday. You need to get this right, Jenny. You need to, you know, we call it conviction, and that sounds like an ugly word, but it's really a correction because he cares. It's his counsel saying, if you shift this way, and if you stop doing that, and you do this, you're going to step back into life. You're going to step back into what I'm calling you to do. I'm guiding you. I'm directing you. So truth, he speaks truth to you about the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and he speaks truth to your life about you, right? All right, take what is mine, he says in verse 15, take what is mine and reveal. He's going to declare, disclose, and transmit them to you. So what he's saying is he is going to communicate with you. He's going to take what I want to say to you and he's going to tell you. So he's saying, I want to be so close to you. I want to be your comforter. I want to be your counselor. I want to be your advocate. I want to be your helper, your strengthener, your intercessor. I'm on standby if you need me. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm always going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to speak to you on a regular basis. That's a lot of words right there, right? That is, and not just, that's just the start. That's just the beginning. Amen? So what, in short, what Jesus was telling them is the equipper is on the way. What he was saying is, I've given you the mission. You guys know the mission, right? Love God, love other people, and go into the world and preach the gospel. Tell the good news. Jesus came, he lived as an example. He showed us what to do, and then he told us what to do next. This is what you need to do. You need to go tell everybody you know about this. You need to tell them who I am. Share this message. Share the gospel. And he didn't just come and say, do this without equipping. Do you understand? If it would have stopped right there, we would have had insufficient funds to carry out what we needed to carry out, right? But he said the equipper is on the way. So in John chapter 16, that's what he was saying, is he's saying, look, I'm going to go away. I've given you a mission. I'm going to go away. The disciples were freaked out by that, but he said, wait, I'm going to send the equipper, and he is going to equip you to be able to do what I've called you to do. With the Holy Spirit, we have so much available to us, so much help. Sometimes we're just so quick to run to help that, you know, is right next to us. And sometimes that help doesn't really help like the equipper himself can help. Do you guys know if we put all of our faith, all of our hope in other people to help us when we're down, we're going to be let down? It's not a bad thing to help each other. We absolutely should. It's not a bad thing to seek counsel. That's, we absolutely should when needed. But the Holy Spirit is saying, I will help you through every single situation of your life if you'll only let me. I want to be involved in the big things and the small things. Sometimes we get so religious-minded, we don't want to invite them into the small things. People think I'm funny when I pray over football games, but I'm telling you, the Lord cares what I care about. I'm telling you, even the little things. I have a little chihuahua. He's a rescue. When we got him, he was so sick. We were on the way home, and I knew he needed help, but I just didn't have any idea how sick he really was until we got there. And I had just lost my other little chihuahua, you know, 2 years prior. So I finally opened my heart up and was like, okay, I'm ready. And I go to get this one, and he is so sick. He had no fur on his whole back part of his body. It was just covered in scabs. He was so bad. I just was so upset by it. So we took him to the vet, and the vet's like, no, we can do something with this. We can do something. So he had all his teeth removed because they were just really bad. And he did something with his skin and put him on some medication. And every day we would lay hands on his little back and was just like, okay, Lord, because the vet said he won't grow hair anymore. It was too bad. He'll just be weird looking forever. And we just prayed, and we laid hands on him and prayed. And do you know he has hair covering his entire back, covering his legs? He's got it on his tail. He's got this little tiny area on his back that's still a little bald, but it's astonishing. Plus, he's pudgy, and he's just, you just wouldn't believe how transformed he is versus the time that we got him. Even the things that people think, oh, that's just silly to take to God. Do you know nothing is silly to take to God? There's nothing silly to take to God. Every little thing. Lord, you know, what am I going to do today? What should I wear today to be ready to do what you're going to have me to do? You know, that may be necessary. That may seem silly, but I talk to the Lord about everything, every single thing. So there is nothing too big. Emily's laughing at me because I'm talking to the Lord about wardrobe. But there is nothing too big, nothing too small that the Lord is not interested in. You know why? Because it's about you. It's about you. It's about you're his child. There is nothing too big or too small. So he wants to talk to you about all things. He wants to be involved in your life about all things. And what better way to know what your next step is in life, where you're supposed to go? Are you supposed to do this? Are you not supposed to do this? Who better to talk to about it than the Lord, right? He is the author and the finisher. the beginning and the end. But a lot of times we want to author things and ask him to finish it. We want to make our plans and then ask him to join us in and bless it. But do you know he wants to give you plans that he has for you? He wants to be a part of your beginning, a part of your middle, and a part of your end. So when I talk about living and being filled with the Holy Spirit, know today I'm not talking about just things you see happen during service. I'm not talking about the things that freak you out. Does the Lord do things sometimes that we don't understand? Absolutely. He will always explain them, and he will always give you peace about it. But let me tell you something. When you talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're talking about taking your everyday life, and you're laying it before him, and you say, okay, Lord, what now? What's next? What do I do here? I need counsel here. I need healing here. I need someone to advocate for me in this situation. I need a helper. I need you on standby, Lord. Let me call upon you today because I need you today. Amen? So let's stop, you know, putting God in stereotypes of saying, okay, well, that Spirit-filled stuff is for the Pentecostal church. Well, let me tell you something. The Spirit-filled stuff is for every believer, every moment of every day, because you cannot do what he has called you to do without the leading, the guidance, the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power. Say power. You shall receive, that was a lame power. All right, let's do that again. You shall receive power. And the Amplified Bible describes power as ability, efficiency, and might. You shall receive ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. So he says, you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come on you. You shall receive the ability to forgive when you don't want to forgive. You shall receive the ability to accomplish what he's called you to accomplish, even if you have a grade school education. You shall receive the might to carry on when you don't feel like carrying on. You shall receive the efficiency when your job has you so bogged down you don't know how you can get anything done. On that list, you shall receive the efficiency to get it done when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Amen? And he says, why? To be my witnesses in all the earth. He didn't say so that you can go about doing witnessing or go about doing your religious thing. He says so that you can be it. Not just so that you can do it out of obligation, so that you can literally inhabit and live out this life that he's called you to live out. Not so that you can do it, so that you can be his witnesses. Amen? He had given them a mission. He said, go into the world. And now he was saying, I'm also going to equip you. I'm not going to send you out on this mission and not send you with the equipper. You shall receive anointing. That's another thing. You shall receive anointing. The word anointing we think of is what we do just in kind of replication of, you know, the spirit and the oil, and we'll dab a little on our finger and we'll dab your head, and that's great. But that's actually not what anointing means. If we really were going to anoint you, we would smear you. You would be like a human slip and slide. You would just, I mean, it would be... You would be covered in the oil. We wouldn't leave anything uncovered. And if you were to, like when Mary washed Jesus' feet and she broke open that perfume and anointed his feet, it didn't mean that she went and dabbed his feet. She slathered it and lathered it on his feet and covered his feet with a sweet perfume. And do you know, I'm sure, that everywhere Jesus went that day, they could smell that perfume. They could smell that anointing. That's how anointing works. When you're anointed to do something, no question that you're called to do that. Does that make sense? When you go, when the anointing is present, it rubs off on people. And they leave and they're like, oh, did you see that anointing? When you go and you touch someone, you're like, oh, that was an anointing. That's the way it goes. Do you know anointing is for everybody? Say everybody. everybody. Anointing is for everybody. So when the word says that he wants to anoint you with his Holy Spirit, he doesn't want to give a little dab of do ya. It's not the Daisy sour cream, a little dollop of Daisy. He's saying, I want to smear you with my Spirit. I want to rub it all over you. Because when you come in contact with the rest of the world and you walk away, they're going to say, oh, there was something different about that. There is that anointing, that smell. You leave it behind everywhere you go. That is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So when you were born again, you received a measure of the Holy Spirit, without a doubt. Do you know we can't even be born again without the workings of the Holy Spirit? It is the Holy Spirit that leads us to God, and it is by the Holy Spirit we receive the Lord into our hearts. But my question today is, how much of the Holy Spirit do you allow God to have of you? How much of the Holy Spirit do you allow God to have of you? Is it just enough to fit into the Christian life, or are you ready? Are you ready to jump in? Are you ready to be slathered up? Are you ready to start walking in victory? Are you ready to start utilizing the comforter, the counselor, the peacemaker? Is your home peaceful? Do you know he's the peacemaker? That's that dove that he says. Invite peace into your house. Do you know we don't have to walk around in this Christian life unequipped? But sometimes, church, we do. We do. I was talking to Christopher Coleman Wednesday, and I don't know if you know Christopher Coleman, but he's in a wheelchair in his body, but his spirit is not in a wheelchair. Amen. Let me get that clear. He said, you know, Jenny, I think God is disabled too. And I said, God is disabled? What do you mean? And he said, because his body won't do what it's supposed to do. And of course, it blew my mind, and I was like, what? Wait a second. And so as we were talking, and I'll leave that to him to explain to you, but let me tell you, because we will not accept that he has sent us the counselor, the equipper, the standby, if we will utilize what he has actually given us to do, it's like having all the money in the world and dying poor because we don't know how to go to the bank. We don't know how to draw upon it. But what we'd rather do is go to Facebook or go to our friends or go to, you know, such and such that doesn't have their life together either and get advice from them and take advice from other people and then start doing that and wonder why it's not working out when the Holy Spirit the whole time is saying, if you'll listen to me, if you'll stop, if you'll just stop and let me talk to you, if you'll just invite me into this situation. Do you know the Holy Spirit is not going to invite himself upon you? That's for someone here. The Holy Spirit is not going to invite himself upon you. You can invite the Holy Spirit in. Just like Jesus is not going to force you to believe in him. It's your choice, right? It's free will. And it's out of true belief that we can really worship him that way. But he's not going to invite himself upon you. You invite him into your situation and he will gladly come. And he will gladly intercede, and he will gladly intervene, and he will gladly be your standby. He will gladly be involved in everything you want to be involved in. Are we ready to start walking in victory? Are we ready to be involved and trust that the Lord really does have it all in control? And that he really has equipped us to accomplish what he's asked us to accomplish. It is a lot easier to go day to day and just survive. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's easier to go day to day and just survive and just barely get by and just, oh, I can't wait till Friday. We all do that, right? But you know, every day God can have something for you. Every place you go, even if you're like me and you go to the same job every single day, do you know every single day when we invite him in, when I invite him in, it never fails. He has something for me new and adventurous to do that day. Even, we see it all the time, even when bad things in our perspective happens, your car breaks down or something like that happens, it never fails. There's someone along that journey he wanted you to meet. But you know, if we just keep our head focused on our problems and focus on our to-do list and focus on just getting through the day and surviving, we will never see the bigger picture of what God has for us. He does not want us to stay here barely surviving, getting through, being the ho-hum church. He wants us to go into this world, preach the gospel, and tell people you too can be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants to be your counselor too. He wants to intercede for you too. He wants to be involved, and he wants us to be joyful. No one wants to be a part of a sad sack church that has no victory. I don't. I want to walk in victory. You know what? Because I walked without it for far too many years. Amen. I walked without it for far too many years. I was never told growing up that I could be victorious. I was never told that I'm not a product of my surroundings. I was never told that I had the Holy Spirit, creator of the universe, on standby waiting for me. I'm telling you today, if today you walked into this building and you did not believe that, do not leave this building today not knowing you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit on standby waiting for you. Amen? So ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit, to be ever full. And D.L. Moody said in another quote I was reading, he was like, why do you always ask to be refilled? And he said, because I leak on occasion. And we all do, right? It's easy to do. We might have been leaking when we walked in this building, but oh, be ever filled with His Spirit. He is ready to ever fill. He doesn't pour 8 ounces and cap us off and say, that's it. Make it last the rest of your lifetime, right? He is pouring to overflowing. And do you know why it overflows? It's not so you can keep it all. It's so that it touches the toes of the person standing next to you, right? It's so that they start getting their pants a little wet as well, and that it starts rising up. That's why it overflows, not to keep it all to yourself, so that the people around you will say, oh, that's the anointing. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? So ask Him to fill you and ever fill you. But be ready when you ask Him to fill you, that means you're going to have to empty yourself of you a little bit more. Blake posted on Facebook yesterday, more of you, Jesus, less of me. More of you, Jesus, less of me. But do you know what that means? That means when we are faced with that situation we know we don't need to do, that we need to listen to the Holy Spirit and not do what we're going to do anyway. When we invite Him in, that means to start listening to what He tells you to do. Start allowing Him to move and be active in your life. But a lot of times we say, okay, Lord, on Sunday morning, fill me with Your Spirit. I want Your Spirit. You're going to do that today, and then you're going to walk out of here, and then you're going to make decision after decision after decision this week without inviting Him into the middle of it. Do you know that just because a decision faces you, that you do not always have to solve it right that second? Pray on it. Invite Him into the situation. Be wise. He gives you wisdom, the Spirit. Be wise and use it. Instead of bouncing around from wrong decision to wrong decision, and you get back here on Sunday, and you're like, fill me with Your Spirit. Well, praise God, we can still do that, and that's okay. But do you know when you walk out of here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, before your feet hit the floor, say, fill me with Your Spirit, Lord. Help me walk this out today. Help me go on these adventures with You today. Jesus didn't die so that we can barely make it through every day, defeated around every corner, but to recognize what we have available to us if we'll just allow Him to take part. He wants to be involved in everything. All right, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12:1-7. It says, now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy, brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. There was a lot of misinformation going around back then too, just as there is now. Go down to verse 4. Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, which are gifts, extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. So what he's saying is there's different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, but they're all from the same Spirit. They're all from God. There are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. There's distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish the things, but is the same God who inspires and energizes them all. But to each one, say each one, is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and for profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. To another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. Have you guys been in situations where you could use some wisdom, some knowledge? When the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom and knowledge and you're like, I wouldn't have come that up with that on my own, right? But you got it because you allowed the Holy Spirit to be involved. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. Have you ever met anyone with the gift of faith? We have some faith. We have to receive, only by faith can we receive the Lord into our hearts. But if you met someone with the gift, the anointing of faith, it's amazing. To another, the extraordinary powers of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight. The gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between utterances of true spirits and false ones. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, achievements, abilities, and inspired and brought to pass by the one and same Holy Spirit who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. For just as the body is a unity and yet has many parts, all of the parts, though many, form one body, and so it is with Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. For by means of the personal agency of the Holy Spirit, we are all, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, baptized and by baptism united together into one body and all made to drink of the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you something. Did that scripture that said all and everybody a lot of times exclude anybody? All right, so the gifts of the Spirit are for all and for everybody. They are available to you. They are to be used not as a platform for show, not as a platform for to just come across as if you have this special power. I'm sorry, but they are used. He gave you this to use every single day. But sometimes we want to wait until we have a special conference and utilize them. Or sometimes we want to wait until something happens here in church and then we wonder about it. And we don't limit him. Absolutely. I hope to goodness sakes the gifts of the Spirit are used in our body and in our church. But he wants to use these in your everyday life, that they are for you. Because that is what he's talking about, the equipping. Those things are what equips you. The words of wisdom, the words of knowledge, what to do, when to take the next step. Those are not scary things. Those are equipping tools that he uses to communicate with you, to intercede with you, to tell you what's next to do, to be involved in your life. Amen? Amen. I know I lost some people there, but stay with me. These gifts are not for special occasions or special services. They're for every single day. Every single day. We need to create an atmosphere in our lives that makes room for the Holy Spirit. If we're going to have a romantic dinner and you were going to set the atmosphere, what would you do? Dim the lights. Very good. I like that. My makeup looks better in dim lights. Roses. Nice. Yep. So that sets the aroma in the room. I like that. And pretty to the eyes. So you don't leave it as it is, right? You make the atmosphere. So when I walk in, I'm going to say, whoa, he's really gone out of his way here. And we need to do that to the Holy Spirit. Set the atmosphere to make room for him. And you don't just do that on Sunday mornings. Every day, set the atmosphere to make room for the Holy Spirit to move. Set the atmosphere in your home for peace. Set the atmosphere in your job for peace and joy. Set the atmosphere of gratitude and thankfulness. And we don't set the atmosphere by complaining and murmuring. We set the atmosphere by allowing the Holy Spirit to use us and to listen. And I was listening to someone the other day when I was praying over this, and this really stuck with me. And if you'll just go ahead and stand to your feet. We're getting ready to close. When you set the atmosphere, you make room for him. And I was listening the other day, and this minister said, do you know you can live a very sincere life with no victory? You can go about religion very sincerely, and there not be a speck of victory in the room. It has nothing to do with our religious minds and our religious makeup, and even as sincere as that can be. Do you know he is more interested in our day-to-day, in our personal lives, in an intimate relationship with us? Do you know Bethlehem, Emmanuel, Christ was born, God with us. Calvary, God for us. He went to the cross for us. So we had God with us, God for us, and Pentecost is nothing more than God in us. Do you see the progression? He came. He was with us. He died for us. And now he wants to live in us. The God, the creator of the universe, he wants to know you personally. He wants to be involved in your every single day life. He wants to know what person you're interested in dating, what job you want to do. He wants to know how can you utilize the gifts that he's given you to do. He wants to be involved because he wants to see you thrive and be filled and be joyful and not dead in religion. But think about this week. Is the Holy Spirit valuable to you? It should be the most valuable thing, the most valuable gift you've ever been given, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.